We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everybody, welcome to Pod Mavericks Presents Group Therapy. We're here. It's Friday afternoon, June 2nd, about 3 weeks until the NBA draft, and we're just kind of here in the middle of a bit of a dead zone, at least for me, Mavericks content-wise. There's, you know, plenty of things we could talk about, plenty of things I would love to hear from you guys on. There's some, you know, interesting news that broke in the earlier today that is kind of like Mavericks adjacent. But I'm very curious if to any of you would you know, want to come up here and talk about some of the things that are on your mind. While we see if anybody wants to request to come up on stage, otherwise this might be a delightfully short Friday afternoon podcast. The Mavericks assistant, like kind of lead assistant search continues. Frank Vogel had his name mentioned by Mark Stein and others for several weeks with regards to the assistant coaching position besides Jason Kidd. But he is now coaching the Suns, as Luke Byrne agreed, or as Luke Byrne noted in the comments. That's, you know, it's obviously a very big deal in relation to the West. It's how big of a deal it is in relation to the Mavericks is, I think, of interest to us hardcore fans. It's one of those things where, as the year went on, it felt to me that the Mavericks were a little bit... their coaching staff was just very inexperienced on the whole. You know, Brian Roby in the chat says, yeah, we need to go ahead and give Terry Stotts a call. You know, he was on that list, but I'll be curious to see, you know, who they end up going with, just because I think they need some, somebody else. 9 coaches on the staff last year, but fairly inexperienced down the roster, and that's one of those things that can end up biting the Mavericks to a degree. So, you know, we're still here at Mavs Moneyball, and then at Pod, obviously here at Pod Maverick, just sort of in a bit of a waiting space. None of us are reporters in the exact sense. So talking about, you know, who the Mavericks might bring in for workouts and who has been seen, you know, on site is one of those things that could be of interest to folks. Mavs film room, my man Jay said that he has heard that Grady Dick was on site with the Mavericks. Great running joke with Mavs Twitter is it could have been Tim Cato or Nick Engstat, but I would have gone with Nick because they each have like luscious hair. But yeah, you know, we're just kind of here and hanging out. There's not there's just not a ton on the horizon. You know, yesterday over at Fox Sports, who is it here? It was Chris Broussard kind of got into a bit of a interesting talking head discussion with Nick Wright, talking about Nikola Jokic and sort of his place in the NBA pantheon. He made a couple of offhand comments about Dirk, which seemed to really fire people up. Perfect social media fodder, because he said, I feel that Dirk is overrated by NBA people, which, like, what does overrated mean is sort of the question there. When you're talking about like top 25 guys, of which Dirk is one, it's splitting hairs. I think if we're being completely candid, if Nikola Jokic wins an MVP or wins the NBA championships this year, by age 29, he has an NBA championship and two MVPs, and he maybe very well could have had three. He might win another. Yeah, I don't have any problem with anybody sliding him ahead of Dirk. What I keep coming back to is that Dirk, other than maybe LeBron in 2016, Dirk has perhaps like the most impactful, kind of important ring to NBA to Mavericks fans in the last, you know, however many years, probably in this century, really. It's like got to be him and LeBron in 2016. I suppose you could make an argument for Dwayne Wade if you really wanted to in 2006, but I don't want to do that. It's really, you know, it's kind of one of those conversations. I love Dirk's going into the Hall later this summer, Hall of Fame with Dwayne Wade. We'll have a lot of Dirk related content as we go on this year. All right, 17 in the chat says, I saw a trade idea. LA gets Kyrie, Horford, and Gallinari. Celtics get D'Lo and AD. Mavs get Brown. What are your thoughts? Brown is just such an interesting guy to talk about because he just made all NBA, which means he's eligible for a bajillion dollars. And he took a bit of a discount to stay with the Celtics last time at the rate that he was at. I think he signed early and he could have gone to market and maybe made a little bit more. I don't suspect he ends up wanting to take a discount for anything. And with some of the things we've seen in the last several days, particularly like his just utter inability to dribble with his left hand, it's forcing him left resulted in a lot of turnovers against the Miami Heat. And at his age, he's not like a young man, or he's not like an old man by anything, but improving ball handling that's a tough thing to ask. Tough thing to ask a little later in life. I just have a harder time seeing it, even though I really like him as a player. I think the Mavericks need somebody with a bit more ball handling. I like it, and, you know, then the price is obviously just enormous, but like, I like him as a player. I think it certainly would be something new, particularly if Kyrie was like dead set on getting out of Dallas and going over there. But, you know, it's like $50 million a year for 5 years, as Thomas says in the chat. That's just a ton of money. Brian in the chat asks if I saw former Mavs Moneyball contributor Lauren Gunn's, just group of trade skeletons. And I did. Let me see if I can go find it here because I don't know. Like, trades are not my forte, so it's very hard for me to like comment on the veracity of them. Josh and I were doing it a little bit last night, but it's one of these things where I've never been great at it, and so I don't want to like say something's bad or dumb or impossible because it doesn't seem like the NBA is particularly great, or it feels like some NBA GMs are just as bad at this as the rest of us are. Let me see, where is her tweet? Okay, so she had some potential frameworks which were of interest, at least in her mind, with other fans and stuff that she's talked to. Just before we move on from the Boston trade, Leo says, pray that God Sham God can help Brown. I mean, that would quite literally be the one for us. I have Ollie waiting. I'm going to answer his question and then I'll bring Ollie up. Obviously, if you want to chat with me, go ahead and click that link in the comments and it will take you to a waiting room. You can come up on stage. If you have not subscribed to our show yet, we're obviously in a bit of the dead zone right now, but I want to fire up the content as we move through the summer, which we're much more of a game reaction show. ideas. All right, so Lauren has a couple of things she suggests. Let's just go through them one at a time. Utah at 16, trading the 10th pick, Bertans and McGee for Kelly Olynyk and the 16th Jazz pick. Second one, trading with Houston, McGee and 10 for 20, Jayshon Tate and Kenyon Martin Jr. Brooklyn moving 10 Bertans and a 2025 second, which the Mavericks don't have. I don't know if they don't have any second round picks for like a billion years, but that's neither here nor there. For the 21st pick, 22nd pick, and O'Neal, Royce O'Neal. And then she has Bertans 10 for the Mavericks, and then sending that to Memphis for Adams, the 25th pick in the draft, and a 2025 second or 2026 second, depending on what Memphis wants to pass out. I don't know. None of them really move me. I think our staff at Mavs Moneyball is interested in anything Brooklyn related, just in an attempt to pick up draft pick assets because like more bites at the apple. I do like the Houston one just because those are the kind of guys that would, I think, work well with Luka. Guys that don't need the ball, that can do a lot of things. Jayshon Tate is an incredible player. I'd be, you know, Kmart in Dallas would be pretty wild given the family history there. If you don't know what I'm talking about, do the Googling of Mark Cuban and Kenyon Martin. The answer may surprise you.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so coming up here is Ollie. Ollie, how you doing, man? Thanks for waiting.
No worries, Kirk. How are you?
I'm not bad. What's going on?
I'm all right. Just prepping my breakfast for tomorrow morning.
There you go.
But yeah, we've discussed before. I want us to keep the pick, but I've been looking at the Utah Jazz, and I think that moving back, if you can, I thought maybe he's doing something like Bertans and 10 for Colin Sexton and 16 and 28. I don't know if they'd do it or not, but I think that'd be a really good idea to do. Draft someone like Derek Lively, I think, who will be available at 16. And then you can try and trade that 28 pick with Tim Hardaway for someone like Bojan with Detroit. I don't know what your thoughts.
The trading back thing is an idea that a lot of fans really like.
And what I hope is that the Mavericks have kind of a tiered framework of what they're hoping for on draft night, because I don't want them to come to an agreement on what they're going to do before draft night, because I earnestly think that someone in that current 5 through 9 range that a lot of Mavs fans really like is going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone, you know, like I did a mock draft with Mavs draft and a whole bunch of people, and I ended up with Jairus Walker at 10. Like, I'd be over the moon if the Mavericks ended up with Jairus Walker. But, you know, if we're talking instead about having to maybe look at guys like the Grady Dix of the world, who I don't think inspires anybody in this chat, then yeah, you know, trading back is an interesting option. I mean, where I run into challenges with this is not that I don't think they're good ideas. It's that the Mavericks have simply not traded for first round picks in almost 18 years. So obviously the first time would be, you know, it'd be great if that was now, but I just, you know, history tends to inform what happens next. So that's sort of where my head is, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is though, you look at what they need this offseason and like what they can actually do. The free agents, I was looking at the wings and
it's dark.
There's no one available. Like there's no top, like that mid-level wing available. Guys like 6'7", 6'8". There's like Jalen McDaniels, but I think he's going to get, I worry that he's going to get paid a lot. I think team's going to, he had a good season with Charlotte, and I think he's going to get paid more than that taxpayer MLE, which the Mavs can really only offer.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend who's a Phoenix fan, and he was like, yeah, he wants him as well. And I think we might lose out. So, but that's who he's my ideal target that they'd add.
I mean, I'm coming around to the concept of trading back, if only because I have long preached bites at the apple or what the Mavericks need. And when you look at their recent draft history, yeah, 2020 didn't really pan out. You know, Josh Green's been fine, but that whole draft was kind of a mess. And you want to, you look at what they did, obviously, with Luka and Jalen Brunson. You look what they did when they finally bought in to go ahead and commit to a guy like Jaden Hardy. If they have that sort of committal to guys and they've done the work and they feel confident, then I want them to pick somebody, because you mentioned it, the free agency's dark. Free agency's going to stay dark. The Mavericks are like, their books are not great. And we talked, Josh Bowe and I talked a little bit about this last night.
Yeah.
The CBA is just, it's restrictive. It's tough.
I think that someone was saying that, or they might have the non-taxpayer MLE. I don't see it. I don't see how they can work that with the Kyrie if they do plan on re-signing Kyrie. So I'm looking at, they're going to have the taxpayer MLE, which I think is about 3 years, $7 million, that they can offer. And there's just not a lot of guys that are going to that fit what they want and fit what they need at that price range. Like I say, Jaden McDaniels, I think he's going to get more. Torrey Craig, I think Suns re-signing with his rights. And then there's guys like what's his name? O'Shea Brissett from Indiana.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's realistically going to be available.
Oh no, that is. So yeah, I see what your point is.
So I think doing a trade with say someone like Utah, moving back, getting another asset, you can then either depends what they want to do. They can either draft a high upside wing at 16 and then trade that 28th pick for a big man, because let's face it, big men aren't as valuable. So you probably could get a decent level, like a Clint Capella type with Tim Hardaway in that 28th pick, and Hawks might be happy with it, or Daniel Gafford or someone like that.
Yeah, the Daniel Gafford seems more likely to me, just salary wise, because like Clint Capella makes $20 million or more each of the next two seasons, and Gafford, if I remember, is kind of a much more affordable guy. But you know, this coming CBA just caught it, you know, I've been thinking about it purely from a Mavericks perspective, but it really does cause like half the league problems. Like, it's truly nuts.
Yeah, but I don't know what they're going to do. And that's why I think, and I mean, I've got my GM mode on, because that's what I'd be saying if I have Nico Harrison to teams. Well, you want to get another salary cap, you can take Davis Bertans this year, and next year when it comes into effect, it's only $5 million.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to sell him.
Yeah, it's just I hate that we would have to send a pick to clear him. I know all the trades proposed have Dallas getting a different pick back, so it's not really the same thing, but it's just it kind of vexes me because it reeks of early LeBron years in Cleveland when they had all these bad signings and then they had to send picks out to get rid of them. And then they just couldn't replace any talent. And similar to the LeBron years, Luka just carries a team to a high enough record where it ultimately doesn't matter. So,
and that's what come down to it. He was too good too early. They jumped the gun and well, I still don't get why they didn't just offer take on Kent Bazemore's salary, but
I'm either.
That's Mark Cuban for you. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I think we, once the draft has happened, we'll know a bit more what the structure of this team's like. I'm just waiting for the Woj and free agent night. Dallas re-signs Dwight Powell to a 1-year minimum contract.
Just can't wait.
It's gonna happen.
Oh, I mean, and well, the one I'm laughing about is Theo Pinson.
He can't come back.
Oh, he's absolutely coming back. Oh, yes. They have this. If you buy tickets to a Mavs game, you kind of have to give them your email. And if you get emails from them, they have this newsletter called the Mavs Insider Newsletter, which it's PR fluff. It is what it is. It's like hard to do this time of year when the Mavericks don't actually have anything to talk about. And the first two stories this week were Theo Pinson related. There are only three stories. So that was the case. It was just, I can't.
He can't.
I know.
Just give AJ Lawson a full-time contract.
I feel good about the Lawson of it all. Lawson is somebody who, you know, he was the third guy. Like, he's been in some of their media stuff. So I feel good about what they're doing with Lawson.
Yeah, because his two-way is another year. So I don't know what they do. They may keep him on that two-way and create that roster flexibility.
Right.
And then, you know, midway through the year, they can always convert him.
That's right. I would hope so. Yeah.
That's optimistic.
But let's end on some optimism, Ollie. Get your day started right.
Yeah.
All right,
that's what we need. But yeah,
thanks for joining.
I'll get off now, Kurt.
All right, have a good day.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Okay, coming up next is my man Andreas coming to us wearing what Mavericks jersey do you have on? Yeah, the classic Dirk Nowitzki jersey. That's fantastic. That's what we're talking about.
It's a gift, and I feel like wearing it today. My favorite.
Why not?
Exactly. Every day is a good day to wear a Dirk one. So
absolutely. So what are we thinking this Friday?
A few things. I did a similar thing like Ollie, I think. Just looked through who's available. Not just at the free, but pretty much everywhere, since we need every position. Yeah. I think you said it more than once. We need at least one full rotation. And now that we talked about Theo, I think, yeah, we do. I think he got us really hooked with that one triple-double in the end, flexing the muscles.
Did you see his pod? Like he did a podcast almost immediately afterwards. And as a content maker myself, I have a hard time hating on it. But he got on and did his own podcast about how he had a triple-double in a meaningless game, which is simply amazing.
Yeah, so. I don't know how not showing up in terms of production the whole year. That's how I felt as a fan.
Right.
And then on, like you just said, a meaningless game in the end. That was quite special. But some guys stood out to me, and I have a little list here. Ooh. It's Seth, to a degree Dorian. Then we have Harrison. Harrison Barnes, obviously, a guy I always liked his demeanor, sure. And I think he gave back a lot to the community as well.
He's a great guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I think we talked about Dennis Smith Jr. before. I'm not sure if Wesley Matthews is still a guy we should talk about. I'm not entirely sure. I didn't follow up his career too much.
You just put the fear of God in me. I'm going to be thinking about Wesley Matthews playing as a Maverick again. He's still alive. He's out there dribbling somewhere.
Quite possibly. So, there are so many other guys which came to my mind, which for all our health's sake, I won't mention now.
Right.
Out of those guys, who would you like to have back?
I mean, Harrison is probably too talented and I think he wants to stay on a good team like Sacramento at this point. And I wouldn't mind having him back because he's at a different place in his career. Rick Carlisle pushed him into being the number one option when the Mavericks didn't really have any other option. They didn't have any other choice. But the way Barnes plays right now, I like the way he settled into a true kind of 3D super wing, and he plays good defense. He's a good guy. Yeah. He'd be my favorite, though. Honestly, you could make a case for all three. I think Dennis might have the hardest path because the Mavericks don't really want small players. Like, he's a small guy. He's 6'1" with the 6'1" wingspan. That's where like Jaden Hardy, beats him. But he's transformed himself. When he was with the Mavericks, he wasn't a terrible defender, but he wasn't a good defender. I would classify him now as a good defender. He's really worked on that. It's pretty impressive.
And exactly that. And I think we need those guys who figured what they can bring besides maybe one or two big talents is Huddle. They really want to bring it. And they continue to carve out a niche in the league for themselves for years to come. There's so many players who could be listed, such as this one, and the Bucks were full of those players at one certain point in time. In my opinion, the reason why we were so good for so long now, and I mean, Goran, we continue to talk about them somehow as one of those guys to a degree in my...
I have a really dark feeling that Goran's going to retire and then head to Miami and work in their front office.
He would fit there somehow, yeah. I think. And somehow I think Tim Hardaway is destined to go to Miami at one point as well.
I think so too.
Home there.
Yeah.
Does he still work out there? Quite possibly.
He grew up there. Detroit and Miami, I think, are kind of places he considers home.
Mm. So I see. And I think he's got that Miami, I don't want to say gene, this Miami way of they do things. Yeah. In the team. Well, yep. Anyway, then another idea is: did Frank Vogel just sign with whom did they sign?
Phoenix. He's going to be their head coach, and that's a good spot for him. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the seat in at the Lakers is always at least somewhat warm, if not hot, regardless of what your name is, right?
Right.
Maybe unless you're Phil Jackson, but even then. Right. So yeah, I'm most curious who would be out there for us right now as that solid, knowledgeable assistant coach who could slot in if Jason Kidd turns around and does get teched out at one point in his career. I don't know if we'll ever see that.
Somebody's mentioned Terry Stotts earlier in the show.
Still
kind of hanging about. James Borrego's heading to Houston, I think. I would have liked him. Even if it's another bench assistant who, like, if we're not that familiar with them, that's fine. But somebody who has, like, experience under their belt for years is what I would be like. Because I think Sean Sweeney's probably one of the more experienced coaches on the Maverick staff.
Yeah.
Or Dudley wants to be a head coach one day, but it's just like, that's not something that happens overnight. Nah, you really got to put in your time. So.
Yeah, that, and I personally don't see Jared Dudley there. I would rather see JJ Barea there, if you would talk me, right? But that's
right. If you're going to have a recent player.
yeah. He has got certainly the respect of the players there right now. So that might be something. I don't see the Terry Stotts because he has the experience, but I don't see him as being the guy who's like, Jason, no, we are not doing
right.
this. You
know? Right.
And we really need that. The guy who is saying we're not running the same play again. Everybody knows already, you know, you ran since your first head coach code days. We are not
That's
doing
right.
that. Or who could potentially take over. I think that's something you mentioned last time as well. If Jason is going to be on the lookout for a new job halfway through the season.
I mean, I could be wrong about that. For anybody that doesn't know what Andreas is talking about, my opinion is that he sort of starts the year with his position under fire a little bit, just because the Mavericks cannot afford another mediocre start to the year. They need to start the year and play well from the get-go.
Yeah, they do. I think I'm in that mind as well. Another season like that wouldn't run like that.
No, right.
Then there is one thing which has been on my mind since the playoff started, and I really wanted Denver to play well, and I'm so happy that they did, because yet another overlooked European dude with a few pounds too many on his hips really is blowing up everyone's minds.
Yeah.
Obviously, everybody knows what I'm talking about, Nikola. And so I really like that idea. What I don't know and would like to know from you, what your stance on this is, do you think with Denver maybe winning it, they are not too far away from it now, would that merit on those weak European players who never really achieve anything change if Denver wins it? Do you think that there would be a change of Dirk maybe did a little bit of work there? That's the reason why I really like my Dirk year, obviously. Do you think there is an opportunity for that merit to change to a degree?
Yes, but it's going to be still another 10, 15 years of it to where it's normal. You know, Victor Wembanyama coming in. World's best players, the four, you know, some of the top four MVP vote getters were not American born.
Yeah.
And that takes American media, particularly older American media, it's a cope. They're still trying to figure out how to ascertain and assess it. And, you know, just the way Joel Embiid won MVP this year, for example, and granted, he's not American born either, but I mean, Jokic is just better than him. Plain better. There's not a discussion. Anybody that wants to have it, it'd be fun. It's a fun talk, but it's not. Jokic is better. And it was crazy. Like, somehow the talking points heading into the playoffs was, can Jokic do it in the playoffs? Here's a stat for you. Embiid has been part of a playoff series once in his entire career where he was in the series and played all four and played during four wins.
Oh, really?
He gets hurt and they rest him so much that he often isn't out there. He misses time all the time. And then you go look at their playoff wins, the series wins that they've ever had. They're jokes. Whereas, you know, Denver's going to take some reasonable flack for how they get to the finals, I think, historically this year, because they played some kind of weaker teams. But Denver made it to the Western Conference Finals couple years ago. Like, they're a good basketball team. This sort of stuff takes time. I think it's more about market than it is about players, because it's really shocking here, and you just see it in the numbers. And I run a website, I see it. Like, there's incentive to have the Lakers in everything because Lakers fans are everywhere. There are many more Lakers fans than there are other fan bases probably combined. And it's really something. My friend, you know, just to bring it back to Jokic for a second, because I think it's a fun discussion point. My friend Adam Mares, who runs DNVR, one of the Denver-based sports site, was in on Jokic from his rookie year on, and he talks about how one of the reasons why he likes watching Jokic so much is Jokic plays basketball he calls it a new way. I mean, it's not really new, but like, he really doesn't play like anyone else. No one passes like him. I mean, it took till this year, but he's the best passing big man in the game. He might be just the best passer in the game. And I love Luka, but some of the stuff Jokic does is like, what the hell? He sees it like it's really crazy. I love watching Jokic, and I think they're just going to beat the pants off the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I think so too. As impressive as this run has been from Miami, really tip to the hat to the whole coaching down to the last player. Really, I find this admirable and something I think Dallas could learn something from. Really, from both teams in the finals. You know, it's great takes. Thank you. So sure. Let's see how this develops in the next years. I'm very curious. And yeah. Let's see how Victor Wembanyama, that tall, skinny dude, right, from France, will influence that. I'm very curious, really.
I love him. So I'm not sure if the guy's in the chat anymore, but I got a question. I'm going to pop it up on stage here just because I want to answer it while I'm thinking about it. Can't read those letters. Don't know how to read. But the guy says, in Europe, according to Victor Wembanyama's games, the average player is not enthusiastic about him. Why is he already a star in the United States? This is a fantastic question. And here's why. Here's why this guy is already a star here, or is like being pushed so hard, and why his European teammates might not necessarily love him. From the time he was about 15 on, it was very evident he was going to be an NBA player, and he was going to be one of the best players like in the world, the draft type stuff. And his whole development path has been much more Victor Wembanyama focused than team focused. And if I'm a veteran on one of those teams and the team is catering to a 17-year-old, that pisses me off. And they probably don't blame him, but like that sort of stuff. It's like, you have a coworker that gets special treatment. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes it. Like Luka had the benefit of being part of one of the best teams in Europe and being part of the team. It was not like he was a benefactor of team success, not necessarily the sole driver of team success. He was a part, you know? So I think that's why he's going to be, Victor Wembanyama is going to be a star here. There's a really good story that came out today from ESPN about just sort of the health, like how they're trying, what they're getting ahead of trying to keep him healthy. Kristaps Porzingis, a comparison point simply because they're both tall. Kristaps got tall so quickly. He had all these biomechanical issues, and he still has them to this day where he has trouble with lateral stuff because his muscles were so tight. This guy, you know, anyways, I could talk about Victor Wembanyama forever.
So. I'm so curious to see how obviously he pans out under this unparalleled pressure really LeBron. I have not witnessed anything like that.
Yeah.
And that has been healthy to a degree for Luka as well, that he hasn't been number one to really push, proving everyone right that knowingly or unconsciously, however you want to call that, one way or the other, to be the player he thankfully became. And that is another point, right? DeAndre Ayton was so hyped. I remember this to this day that everybody, after long thought process, was really like DeAndre Ayton. Mm-hmm. Fair comparison or not, probably not a fair comparison, but Greg Oden pops in mind every time, right? As a number one, great, great, dynamic sort of big man idea, right?
Right.
Bless his soul, is I think a wonderful human being as well, and so on and so forth. But that's we all know how this story panned out. Poor guy.
That's right.
Maybe one last point, if you allow me to pivot to. Is the bites at the apple idea you pointed out earlier. I don't know where I read it, but I think it was 14 draft picks, 14 first round draft picks is what Oklahoma has to.
It's crazy.
2000, was it 30 or something like that?
14. It's so many picks.
Their own and others they got, and they already have a great team, right? Yeah. And I think earlier I've on this iteration here on another one I was listening to in the gym, New Orleans was brought up, and then you have so many other teams with so many draft picks and so many, and already a good team. The bites at the apple thing gets more and more important. I think there's no way around getting Kyrie back, first of all. And then looking around the market where players might be available who might be not that archetypical OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges sort of free in the wing player, or your, I don't know, Victor Wembanyama guy, but where you maybe, I know I've spoke about this guy before, Matisse Feibel. Mm-hmm. There's a reason he is regarded as such a good defender, and I think he would slot in beautifully at the three, my opinion. Right?
He's just such a bad shooter, and that's the hard part. So.
But is he really at the in Portland right now? I think he improved it with a guy being a point guard in a caliber such as Damian Lillard, who is a wonderful guy, but maybe not as good in distributing the ball as Luka. And
well,
Kyrie.
I mean, Luka single-handedly improved Dorian Finney-Smith's three-point shooting just by getting him better shots. Like we saw that when Dorian went away. So, I mean, it's a fun discussion point. I just don't know if it would actually happen, you know?
And neither do I. But I think the bites at the apple, getting guys in who are good at one, two things, and then getting those plus five wins in the end of the season, moving us back to the playoffs, I think this is what would make me get my pulse back to you know, to the normal baseline if guys like that would be on the roster when the season starts. That would be really nice, right?
That's right.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on. Guys, I have to run. I just checked my phone and I have a bunch of urgent messages. I hate bailing out, but I always take a little bit of a gamble when I do this during the workday, and here we are. So as far as scheduling goes, Josh Bowe and I'll be back next Tuesday. I'm also doing a live show with a draft expert earlier on Tuesday. Please join those, and then we'll do this next week. Again, I always appreciate when you guys take the time to hang out with me. I know it's the middle of summer. There's not much Mavs wise going on. I always love these conversations. I always love giving people a chance to talk. I saw my man Brandon in here. I see Christian and Hyperion waiting to talk. I feel bad about that. So guys, shoot me an email. If you want to, yeah, that's definitely another thing. You know, you can email us at podmaverickpodcast@gmail.com if you have questions, and maybe we will, you know, Josh and I might be able to answer some of those during our show. But again, you know, please join us again next week. Thanks for giving us a listen, and I will talk with everyone soon. Go Mavericks.